Hello, Professor Peter Lynham.
And how are you today?
I'm good, and how are you?
Excellent, thank you. That's good. And I'm so keen not to talk about the Tamakis today.
You've got my vote.
Yes, I talked of nothing else on various radio stations and the like all Friday, and I just had enough.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
So unimportant, and what's happening in India is so much more important.
Yes, it's because it's happening. It's going down. What's the skinny on? It's so, showing up at all in my social feeds.
Yeah, so Mahdi, who has won the election for the BJP, this is a huge, huge change in the shape of Indian politics and the future of Indian religion, I think.
Okay.
Because Modi, the BJP party is a Hindu nationalist party. It's been in control since 2013, but with a limited majority. It now has a huge majority.
This is all thanks to the military escalation with Pakistan, right?
Well, that's really a symptom of the way in which Modi approaches relations with, Pakistanis.
Mm.
Because, you know, the nationalist position, he regards especially Pakistan, with absolute hostility.
Mm-hmm.
And that would reflect, you know, it's a long tradition among Hindu nationalists.
Yeah,
I read somewhere that the world's most likeliest chance of nuclear war is between Pakistan and India. Is that still a fact?
Yes, I could well believe that.
Right.
I think, you know, we ought to be very concerned about this.
Yeah.
But we also ought to be really concerned. And to be fair, I'd be fair first. All the Indians that I know are just so overjoyed by Modi's success.
Okay.
And they don't strike me, you know, the taxi drivers and the Indian friends I have here, I mean, they don't strike me as wild and dangerous and anti-Muslim in style. And so, obviously, there's the sort of aspect of populism involved in the success of Modi. Because, I mean, Congress was just rotten, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Congress party, if you were linked somehow to the Nehru name, you kind of got on the gravy train and did extraordinarily well out of it. And that's why there's been a lot of hostility to the Congress party and then the split in the Congress party over recent years. So, I mean, that's, I think, the reason why a lot of Indians are thrilled at the outcome.
Mm. But hasn't he made it quite clear that he won't rein in the Hindi far right?
Yes, and see that...
What does that mean? I mean, what are they up to?
Yes, so the far right has been involved in a series of extraordinarily nasty skirmishes with other religious groups in India. And so these particularly focus on Muslims in India, but also for the outcasts, the Dalits as they're called. So these are the people who, because they have no ritual rank in Indian society, are effectively enslaved in many places. You know, on my visit to India, I was taken to see a site where Dalits are doing labouring work and aren't allowed to leave the site because they're in effect slaves. Mm. They're indentured labour.
Wow. So you mean like they sleep there and work there?
Because for most Hindus, Dalits are really, they carry no ritual identity at all, and therefore they should be treated like this.
Mm-hmm.
But then the nastiest incidents have been in 2002, when Modi was in fact the minister in charge of the state that he was in at that stage, and there was a nasty massacre of Muslims, and he did nothing to use the state apparatus to stop it. And then some of the extremists around him have expressed, I mean, just extraordinarily vehement views. For example, though he's separated himself a bit from this comment, one of these extremists has said that the person who killed Gandhi did the right thing. And, you know, that's a measure, because Gandhi is regarded by most strong Hindus as undermining the separateness of Hinduism.
Oh, it's very hairy stuff. I also had read in Al Jazeera that he has done very little to protect any sort of democratic institution like the courts or the police.
Yes.
They're starting to feel the pressure.
There is a lot of fear that the Supreme Court is going to be put under massive pressure by the ruling party. And so that the world's largest democracy is extremely vulnerable, I think, to pressure from outside, because the thing is that the opposition has been just destroyed. Mm. The last member of the Nehru Party didn't even win a seat. So, you know, 40 seats left of the old Congress Party, and 22 Muslims left in the parliament at the centre of in Delhi. So there's very little capacity for anybody to resist.
But I guess at the end of the day, it has been a democratically elected government.
Yes, there's no question about it. Mm. I mean, the number of Hindus in India, it's 78 or 79% of the population. Muslims represent, you know, after partition, about 15%. And the rest are Christians, Jainists, and Buddhists and other small groups.
How many billion India? Well, how many?
So
how many
India Hindus. Approaching a billion.
Right, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And so, I mean, we are talking of an enormous, enormous population.
Mm. And Hindu around the world is even more, right? Obviously.
Yes. Look, let it be said, by the way, that, I mean, Hindu is itself almost a fiction. Nobody in the pre-colonial period would have ever thought of themselves as a Hindu.
Mm.
They would have simply worshipped their local gods. And it was the Muslims and the Christians and the Buddhists and the Jainists and the like who stood out as being different.
Right.
But Hindu became a kind of collective phrase for this wide variety of worshippers of a variety of gods.
Mm. That are kind of different in each town, depending on your sort of stories and whatnot that get handed down through generations.
And particularly different from the north to the south.
Mm. I'd assume where you lived, you'd have different gods that were more important.
Yes,
you know,
indeed, because everybody will have personal gods who will be their protectors.
Mm.
And so, you know, Hare Krishna will be very popular in some parts. Krishna very popular in some parts of India, but not all parts of India.
Mm. Man, it seems like this whole thing is just going to be a giant watch this space for how it unfolds. Do you think there'll just be a massive like tragedy as far as like human life and abuse of power? Do you think that that's essentially what's on the cards?
I think we'll see something not dissimilar to what's happened in China. I mean, there's every reason to think that Modi is good at managing the economy.
Mm.
And a booming economy is what India very desperately needs. And in some parts, it really has got a fantastically vibrant society and community, and probably states, you know, around Bangalore and areas where the computer phone centres and the like.
My vote is go up into the hills. When it comes to India, go to the hills, man. It's so awesome.
It's probably very much in the north where there'll be change.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the south probably won't change as much as the north, because it's got deeply resistant structures to uncontrolled nationalism.
Right.
But in the north, because what Modi has the power of doing is harnessing the enthusiasm of the villagers. And those villages can make life incredibly difficult for minorities within them.
Mm. All right, Peter. Well,
always very interesting.
Very insightful, Peter. We're eternally grateful for your wisdom.
We'll catch
and
you.
We'll watch the space. Yeah.
Right on. We'll catch you next Monday.
Very good.
Thanks, thank you very much.
Right. Bye.